Let's see. So how long have you been in the area, and how did you find the area? Because you said you grew up in Detroit.
Yeah, and I grew up in Detroit. Well, till I was 12, I didn't really grow up there, you know. And I got in trouble when I was a kid, and I was going to be taken away from my parents. I used to shine shoes. I started shining shoes when I was like 9 years old, going into bars, and I wouldn't go to school. So that's what I was making money when I had my own business, right? And well, what happened is they were onto me. You know, the school system and everybody, they were onto me. They knew that I wasn't going to school. I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. So one day, I got mugged. I got mugged 3 times, by the way, when I was shining shoes. But the last time I got beat up real bad, you know, by 16, 17-year-olds, and I was 12 years old. So the cops came over, you know, and I was busted up pretty good. And the cops told my mom and dad right in front of me, they said, you know, if you don't get Mario out of here, he's going to be dead before he's 15 because he doesn't know when to quit. You know, I guess I just never knew how to, you know, they took $5, man. They broke my shoe shine box. They took $5. They broke my bike. Sorry, bastards. Anyway, sorry. makes me mad to this day. Anyhow, so I got sent to Arizona where I was with my brother-in-law, my sister. And I just, something about the desert and being out there, I mean, I just loved it, man. No people. I just did really good without a lot of people around me, you know, and I just loved Arizona, Buckeye, and just west of Phoenix. So when I turned 18, I decided, a friend of mine that I grew up with, he moved to Alaska, he and his family, and he called me. He says, Mario, why don't you come out to Alaska? And, you know, I was a good welder. In high school, I could weld. And I said, all right, you know, it was towards the end of the pipeline. You know, I'll go out there. And Dennis Bemis, my other brother, the youngest brother, he says, well, you know, we're moving to Marble, Colorado. And I didn't know where Marble, Colorado was. But anyways, he said, we're moving to Marble, Colorado. Why don't you come out here, you know, help us move? And I had my pickup, my big 3/4-ton pickup. I said, yeah, you know, it's on my way to Alaska. I'll just help you guys move. So we loaded up and we got to Grand Junction, and it was still early, right? And this was in 76. So we got to Grand Junction, we stopped, and now I know why we stopped. But Dave Bemis and Martha Bemis, who I call my mom and dad, anyways, they knew, they just had a feeling, I guess, about that what I was going to like. And so we stopped there, and then we drove up to Marble at night, and I couldn't see nothing. But the next morning, I woke up, and I could not believe what I was seeing. I mean, it was like something you've seen in the Disney movies, you know, from a kid from Detroit and then from the desert going and living and being around all this beautiful, beautiful countryside or, you know, mountains. I just freaked out, man. And long story short, I've just been there ever since, you know. And I have no reason to move. I don't think that I would have made it past Montana, because I went up to Montana. She wrote one of the songs on the CD, Fire. She went to school there, and we got to go see Montana, Bozeman. I wouldn't have, if I hadn't have gone, came to Marble, I wouldn't have made it past Montana. Uh-huh. It's a beautiful country there, too. But Marble, that's just, it's been my home for, what, 41 years now, so.
Yeah.
I have no other place to go. We've been to the beaches. We've been to Hawaii. We've been, you know, Florida. Marble. Marble's it, man. There's no other place like it.
And you mentioned your daughter, Rachel. We're going to listen to a song that she wrote next.
Yeah. There's a funny story about that. She calls me up and says, Dad, I wrote these lyrics, you know. And I said, well, good, send them to me. So she, you know, sends them, and she sings a cappella to these lyrics. And apparently she was singing, they had a 52-acre ranch over in Fort Collins, her and Albert, my son-in-law. And Rachel would go out and sing to her animals every now and then. So she had her little white mule, Hank. So she was singing this song to Hank. And the lyrics just start flowing out of her like she couldn't believe. So, and she's so beautiful. I could just picture her singing, you know, having her little mule in her hands under his chin and singing to him. So she sang these lyrics, and I thought, oh, my God, that's really, really good. So I said, Rachel, she could sing a cappella, and I cannot sing a cappella for nothing. But anyways, she sang it, and I said, Rachel, would you mind if I put music to it? And she goes, Dad, of course. Why do you think I'm sending it to you? So I said, all right, good. So I played it, and then I played it for, you know, I put the music to it, and I played it for Larry, and Larry said, oh, yeah, we can really do something with this. This is really good. So if you want to play it, that'd be great.
That's great. We'll listen to that. That's Fire off Mario Villalobos' debut album, Colorado Nights. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. This is KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio. And here we go.
The country, bought ourselves a home. Some animals, a real humble abode. It didn't take long to figure out we just couldn't hold on. Falling off the hill, piling up the bills, working the bone, had a thought, maybe we could set this place on.
This is Katie and Kay, connecting communities for 34 years. The time now is 9:44, and you're tuned into a special edition of the Nightosphere that we're calling Pal and Friends. I'm your pal, and here's one of my friends, Mario Villalobos, here in the studio tonight. playing songs and telling stories about his life and his debut album, Colorado Nights, just came out this last fall. And Mario, we were talking earlier, you kind of mentioned that you played with Michael Murphy once.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess you could say I just say I met Michael Murphy. Sure. Or maybe he met me. Back in 77, it might have been 78. It could have been the summer of 78. You know, we owned the Beaver Lake Lodge in there in Marmol, Dave Bemis' family, Dave and Martha. And so I was, you know, and we also owned the tours. You know, the tours were part of the whole thing. So I'm waiting for this family to show up, and they're late, you know, because I'm going to take them and all their gear up to Crystal, because they've rented a cabin up in Crystal City. So I'm sitting there, and I thought, okay, well, they're not here yet. I might as well grab my guitar and, you know, sit out on the front porch and play it a while. So I'm sitting there, and this guy comes over from behind, and he says, you know, and he hears me playing my 12-string, and I'm just making noise with it. And he says, wow, that thing, that guitar really, really sounds great. And I said, oh, thank you, you know. So he says, play me something. So I played him a little tune. And so he says, oh, you mind if I play it? And I didn't know who he was, right? Mm-hmm. And he goes, you mind if I play? And I said, no, go for it. And he grabs my 12-string, up and down the fretboard he went, man, just crazy. I was like, whoa. I said, and, you know, not knowing, oh, man, you're pretty good, you know. And he says to me, he goes, yeah, I just got done playing with Jerry, Jeff Walker, and a few other people over in Telluride. And he goes, and then he extends his hand. He says, my name's Michael Murphy. And I'm like, Michael Murphy. Oh, dang, Wildfire. Yeah, Wildfire, Michael Murphy. And so it was quite a thrill for me anyways. Mm. So he invited, I took him and his family up to Crystal, dropped him off at the cabin, and he invited me to go up there and hang with him, you know, and play music with him. And word got around town, and there weren't very many people in town at that time, but word got around, and everybody's, oh, you know, you're going to go play with Michael Murphy, you're going to go play, you know. And I put my foot down, I said, the man's on vacation. Nobody go up there and bother him. I don't want anybody up there. So I didn't get to go up there. I didn't want to ruin his vacation. Because, everybody in town wanted to go meet Michael Murphy and hang with him. And I said, mm-hmm. No, I'm not going. That means none of you guys are going. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, you saved his vacation. He doesn't know that.
But. Yeah, you know, he wasn't there to hang out with a bunch of people. I was just thrilled that he invited me. And it's a fun story. It's a fun, fun chapter in my life, you know.
Well, speaking of chapters in your life, this next song that you're going to play for us is called Give It One More Try.
Yeah. It's a song that I wrote, you know, I sang you the first song that when my girls are, you know, tag-alongs. Well, this is a song about my wife and I, basically, and how after the girls all left, you know, I mean, here we are where our world, everything we'd done revolved around our girls, all the conversations, everything, you know. And now here we find ourselves alone. And it was just, I had heard about it before from other people, but I never thought that I would experience that. But it was kind of a scary feeling, I think, for both of us that, you know, I mean, we'd sit at the dinner table for the first 2 or 3 weeks and you could have cut the silence with a knife. I mean, it was, well, we didn't know each other, you know? Mm-hmm. So what do we do here? So we had to get to know each other again. And I went downstairs and I wrote this song, Give It One More Try. And, you know, we weren't having problems. We just didn't know each other, you know enough about each other to just be able to carry on a conversation just about daily things, just about her and I, without involving the kids, you know. Mm-hmm. And we were just not accustomed to that at all. So anyhow, this is Give It One More Try.
Mm-hmm.
silence moves. She takes what she wants when she visits your night. It's a shiver that your mind can't explain. Even though your body lies so close to mine, it's a sign that there's something wrong in our lives. My senses tuned in lightly to what I missed. Girl, I'm freezing for you now, and I know there is no doubt that I love you, baby, or that I'm sure. Well, I heard it in a lullaby, we could give this one more try. I could give this one more try. I could give this one more try. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. I could give this one more try. Out of place, and sometimes feeling insecure. Spend my Sunday morning dry on my own. My senses reeling, baby, a heavy load. If I fail to take this off, I can't bottle this alone. No, I love you, baby, oh, that I'm sure. Ah, but sooner or later we can't hide, so we'll give this one more try. It's a sweet caress that we seem to miss, or the other's touch, one by one we skip. If our sun and our moon seem so out of place, it's the way things are, nothing we can change. No, I won't give up, no, I won't give in. It's a feel that I want back when we were friends. It's the way that you move when you hear our song, or the smile that you give telling me that I could give this one more try. Yeah, all right, I could give this one more try. I could give this one more try. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, I could give this one more. Silence moves. She takes what she wants when she's not tonight.
How was that?
All right, that was
that
great.
Sound all right?
That sounded great.
Anyways, yeah, this is what a producer does, right? Larry, I didn't have that intro, and you gotta, when you get somebody, and I, like I said, I just got lucky, but there's so many things that a producer will hear that, you know, a regular songwriter just doesn't hear, and you have to trust him, you know. I'm not saying that all our, I'd say 99.9% of our sessions were great. But there was a couple of times we had a heated discussion, you know.
Uh-huh.
I remember there was one time when, and I probably shouldn't be saying this, but heck with it, you know. Larry's not here. He should have been here.
Tell the story, man.
Doug's not here. He should have been here.
Tell the story.
That's right, you know. And we got it. Larry and I were, you know, I had a disagreement. And I, you know, I was sure that I was doing the right thing. I wanted to play one line or sing one line the way I wanted to sing, and Larry's like, no, it's not the way it should be done. And I said, why not? And he said, well, because for one thing, you're singing out of tune. And I'm like, oh, no way. You know, I know things now. I mean, I'm a professional recording artist now, you know. I know things, right? But anyways, so Doug was there in his deep, you know, Doug voice, you know, bass player voice, and kicking the ground, you know, listening to us argue, kicking the ground with his big bass player feet, you know. And finally I said, all right, Doug, you'll stick up. Doug, tell him that I'm right. And Doug looking at me in deep voice, no, Mario, I gotta go with Larry on this one. And I'm like, oh, you kidding me, you know. And it got really heated between the three of us. And I tell you what, here's what it felt like. It felt like being in a prison rape scene, you know, where the older, bigger, hairier, more experienced convicts were picking on a younger, less experienced, you know, man. And that's what it felt like. And so anyways, after, you know, we got done, they had their way with me, and the rest of the recording session went great, you know. So there was only a couple
besides
of times
left.
Yeah, besides that. So you have to really, really trust your producer. And I love those guys like no other. I mean, I just love them to death. And anyhow, that was just since they weren't here to defend themselves, to lay it on them.
Well, I'm sure they're at home listening right now. Yeah. And oh, that's great. Well, that wouldn't happen to be that that disputed track wouldn't have to be Colorado Nights, was it?
No, the one I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
The fight that we had?
Yeah.
No, it was a song called Never, one of the songs on it.
Okay.
But, were you going to play Colorado Nights? That is the track, what do you call it? The name of the album and the track.
The title track, yeah.
Yeah, the title track, yeah.
Yeah, we were going to leave off with that. Was there anything else you wanted to say about anything, your life, your experiences, your experiences with this album, with music in general?
Well, I can tell you one thing. You know, like I said, how lucky I was to be with Doug and Larry. But also, you know, we're the same age, you know. And I always thought that they'd been a great band because we were all born the same year. It would have been a great name for 357s. But, you know, they ended up wanting to call us House of Wolves. Our last name means House of Wolves, Villalobos. And so that's what we went with when we were playing together for a while. And anyhow, these guys, you know, while I was up in Marble, being a hermit, basically, working and, you know, doing anything and everything I could, they were out living life. You know, they were going to Costa Rica, going to Panama, playing music every place, playing with music with all these big names, you know. I mean, these guys had an amazing life. And like I said, for me to be involved with them or to end up in Marble, you know, in a little town of Marble with these guys, was just a miracle for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it. I mean, there's a lot of stories I could tell you. I mean, these guys were terrible, you know.
We'll have to have you back to tell more stories, and maybe they can come on and defend.
Well, yeah. Well, they'll
point.
Just they should come on by themselves, because Doug's got his own band, Nanama. Oh my God! If you ever get a chance to hear these guys, our drummer Paul Valentine and John Regan, amazing stuff that they play. And then of course there's Larry's album. So that guy just blows me away, some of the lyrics he comes up with. There's one song in particular that everybody should hear, and it's called Sam Hill's Farm. It is the most beautiful song you'll ever hear.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. And Larry, and even Doug, I mean, I didn't even know Doug was a songwriter. He got this one song called Mud Creek, and the way he sings it, it could be on a radio today, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a good song. But anyways, enough about them. This is about me, right?
Yeah.
They can do their own thing later on. But so that's it. I appreciate you having me, inviting me over. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm really glad you came all the way down from Marble to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, and luckily, we know the way back.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thanks for being here. Thanks for sharing. Thank you, everybody, for listening in. This is Katie and Kay. You've been listening to Pal and Friends on Katie and Kay Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, to infinity and beyond. We're going to end this little interview with the title track off of Mario Villalobos' debut album, Colorado Nights. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. And thanks, Mary and Amanda, one more time for being here.
Absolutely. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
All right.
First time that I heard her, last night of high school, we all went out to party, breaking all last rules, hiding our true feelings, being a little scared, one by one they left me, when she faced the fear, oh, she faced the fear. Then her voice called out, are you all right? My friends went on without me, so I missed my ride. Said her name, Christina, lived here all my life. Though I hardly knew her, she was always shy. Said I'm scared and lonely, could you walk me home tonight? Told her not a problem, the moon is shining bright. Devil really thinking where this might lead. Said, if only you could trust me, oh, we could share the night.
Colorado night.
Oh, we could share the night.
Colorado night.
Time stood still around us, every step felt right. Talk real low and quiet, just not to wake the night. Shadows played their mind games, making her walk close. Without even thinking, her hand was holding mine. Find herself standing on her back porch. Motion light was broken, thought I'd scored. Never ever dreaming she'd ask me in. Said if only you could trust me, hey, we could share the night.
Colorado night.
Could share the night. Share the night.
Colorado night.
We could share the night.
Colorado night.
We share the night. Share the night.
Colorado night.
20-year reunion, didn't want to go. Just a sad reminder of life I didn't know. Pulled myself together, hoping she would show. But one by one they left me, so here we go. Familiar voice called out, are you all right? Stepping from the shadows, such a lovely sight. Time stood still around us, everything felt right. Said if only you could trust me, hey, we could share the night.
Colorado night.
We could share the night.
Colorado night.
We share the night.
Colorado night.
We could share the night. We still share our night.
Colorado night.
Share our night.
Colorado night.
We could share the night.